And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Over the weekend, Juneau hosted a vaccine clinic for residents 65 and older and frontline healthcare workers who hadn't already been vaccinated. The city made appointments available for about 1,100 doses of the Pfizer vaccine, but in the end, they got more than that because some of the vials yielded a few bonus doses. KTOO's Rasha McChesney followed residents through the process and talked to the doctors, nurses, volunteers, and city staff who coordinated the event.
Mary Culpin walked into Centennial Hall on Friday to get her first dose of the COVID-19 vaccination.
Yeah, my name's Claire.
Hi, Claire.
This is Elaine. We're both public health nurses. How are you?
Culpin said she was really eager to get the shot.
Am I excited? Yes, absolutely.
So this is your COVID shot. This will be the first one. Your second one is going to be due in 21 days. This is Pfizer.
I have a message from my grandchildren, too. There's two of them outside, and they said to tell you not to hurt me.
I won't hurt you. No, I'm here to help. So your arm is going to be like Jell-O. See if you can drop this shoulder down for me.
Okay.
And then we live in Alaska. You're used to mosquitoes, so here comes a mosquito. That's it. You're done. Not bad, huh?
No, no.
There was something like 1,200 variations of this conversation during Juneau's first mass COVID-19 vaccination event. For 3 days, groups of mainly elderly Juneau residents moved through that pop-up clinic, standing outside in the rain and wind, waiting in line, dealing with technology that clearly baffled some of them, and yet clinic staff marveled at how patient people were and kind to each other all weekend. Some people came to the clinic alone. Others, like Richard and Gail Hatton, walked hand in hand inside the building. Richard said he'd managed to get appointments for both of them during the 25 minutes before the city slots were taken.
The website was really good, much better than the state website.
The city is still using the same scheduling software that the state uses, but the sign-up process is much more user-friendly.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I just hope that most people who can take the opportunity to get vaccinated so we can get life back to normal.
Health officials said Sunday that they'd had just one adverse reaction. They described it as mild and not anaphylactic. Some people said they felt like they were making history, like Bartlett Emergency Department Director Kim McDowell. She was vaccinating people on Friday night.
You know, I'm so excited to be part of this. It's just, it's amazing. And it's just such an honor to be part of the community immunization. It's just great. So many people are happy and excited to be here. It's awesome.
Other staff said they were relieved the weekend had gone so smoothly. Staff only had their first names on their name tags, just in case someone wanted to retaliate against them for working at the clinic. But that didn't happen. There were no protesters or people who didn't seem like they wanted to be there. At the end of the night on Friday, with just a handful of vaccine shots left over, City Emergency Manager Robert Barr called up some residents who were on the waiting list to see if they could get to Centennial Hall quickly. And the same thing happened again on Saturday evening. After making it through the roughly 360 people who had appointments, Barr said they had about 17 shots left over. So they called some more people on the list to see if they could come early. One of them was Blake Ryder. He ran up the steps to the convention center and enthusiastically checked in with the woman at the front door. His grin was visible through his mask. He said he felt like he was part of the beginning of the end of the pandemic.
Oh, I just feel like it's a collective effort. So I just feel like I'm part of that collective to end this thing. So it just, so it's not even about me as much as it's just getting everyone immunized.
City staff say they're hoping to hold more of these mass vaccination events as more of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines become available, but it's not clear when that will happen. Still, according to federal data, Alaska is vaccinating people at higher rates than most other states. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
State Representative David Eastman is facing a torrent of criticism for participating in the Washington, D.C. rally on January 6th that led to the storming of the Capitol. Progressive groups in Alaska are calling for the Wasilla Republican to be removed from office. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin examines what Eastman did that day and why some Alaskans say he broke promises.
There's no evidence Eastman was part of the mob that attacked the Capitol or that he broke any laws on January 6. In a brief phone interview early that afternoon, Eastman said he was leaving the rally by metro and expected to be at the Capitol in a few minutes.
I know there's quite the fight at the national level, and it's important that Alaska be represented in that fight, and that Alaskans' concerns on voter integrity have a voice. I want to be part of that.
In a later phone call, he said he did not witness any of the violence at the Capitol building and was glad to have rallied with other peaceful demonstrators. In social media posts later, Eastman condemned the assault on the Capitol and also blamed the violence on Antifa, which the FBI refutes. It's not clear how close Eastman got to the building. He didn't return phone messages this week. One photo on social media shows him at the Grant Memorial. That's across the lawn, about a city block from the Capitol's West Terrace, where rioters grabbed metal pipes from a platform erected for the inauguration they hoped to prevent. A decade ago, it might have been Eastman's job to stop them. His resume says that as a military officer in 2009, he was assigned to plan and preserve security for the inauguration of President Barack Obama. Ivan Hodes of Eagle River is one of Eastman's online critics.
I just can't get over the fact that a brother officer would engage in that kind of behavior.
Eastman and Hodes were students at West Point and then served together as military police officers in Alaska. Hodes says even if Eastman didn't storm the Capitol, he spread President Trump's lie about the election being stolen in an attempt to keep Trump in power. Hodes says the lie whipped up the mob.
As a state legislator, he has a special responsibility not to do that kind of thing. He's just in gross violation of the oath of office that he swore as a legislator, not to mention the oath that all of us former officers swore we were commissioned in the Army.
State Senator Tom Begich, an Anchorage Democrat, is a member of the legislature's Ethics Committee. Assuming Eastman didn't invade the Capitol, Begich says he did not violate Alaska's ethics law.
There's nothing in the ethics law that would prohibit him participating in a protest. And, you know, he has his First Amendment right to do that.
But Begich points to Eastman's persistence in undermining faith in the national election, even after the Trump campaign lost dozens of legal challenges. Begich notes that the State House censured Eastman in 2017 for claiming without evidence that women happily become pregnant so they can get a free trip to the city for an abortion. Begich says the Alaska House and Senate could consider censuring members who lie about the election.
The narrative about the stolen election that they claim is all about trying to retain power in an undemocratic way. I certainly would look at that.
Nine Alaska groups on the left, including the Alaska Center, the Alaska Black Caucus, and the regional branch of Planned Parenthood, say Eastman violated his oath to protect the Constitution. They're calling on the legislature to expel him, along with other Republican legislators who joined or supported a lawsuit challenging the presidential election. The other legislators are Representative Sarah Vance, Ben Carpenter, George Rauscher, Colleen Sullivan-Leonard, and Senator Laura Reinbold. None of them responded to an emailed interview request. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
An air tanker and crew based at Eielson Air Force Base flew out yesterday with 47 members of the Alaska National Guard who have volunteered to support Wednesday's presidential inauguration in Washington, D.C. An Alaska Guard news release says the Eielson-based refueling tanker flew directly from Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson to Joint Base Andrews, Maryland, just outside of D.C.
And we initially put out the request to soldiers and airmen if they wanted to do this. We had a very big response from our membership.
Major Brian Fuchs is the Alaska Guard's Provost Marshal.
They absolutely want, especially my security forces and my military police, they want to get out there and they want to do their job.
The Guard members aboard the tanker were security personnel. They joined counterparts from Joint Base Elmendorf, Richardson, and members of the Alaska Guard's Regional Support Group. Fuchs said they are helping manage security and logistics and other tasks of the inauguration.
Supporting law enforcement in checkpoints and helping move people through the National Mall and the parade route.
Fuchs said that 80 Guard members who volunteered for the mission came from all around Alaska.
Soldiers and airmen from Fairbanks, from the Matsu Valley, from Fort Greeley area, just all over.
The 58th presidential inauguration is scheduled to begin at 7 a.m. local time on Wednesday. You can listen to NPR's live coverage of that event right here on KTOO starting at 7.